Welcome, 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 Housers, to another episode of On the Way Home. We so appreciate you listening to these episodes, sharing them, getting the word out there. The whole reason we created this podcast really was to say, hey, here's some great things happening across Canada, around the world, as we face this housing crisis, this homelessness crisis. There's so many good things to celebrate, so many things we could share and duplicate. So we have experts from all walks of life coming on the show, including lived experts who share, hey, this isn't what, I've heard others have gone through. This is what I went through, and this is what would change things for me. We have policy experts. We have politicians. We have experts in different fields, and today's guest is no exception. Before I talk about today's guest, I just want to give a shout out to my friends at Blue Door. Yes, I am Michael Braithwaite, the host, and I am the CEO of Blue Door, and I'm so fortunate to work with a team of over 100 individuals that are doing great work in the areas of housing, health, and meaningful and well-paying employment. They do that and much, much more. If you want to check us out, all the great work we're doing, go to bluedoor.ca. Let's talk about today's guest. Today I have Eric Tawaro on, and Eric is the president of the Ontario Association of the Appraisal Institute of Canada. Now you're probably thinking, what the heck does a housing appraiser have to do with affordable housing? And how does that fit in with this podcast? We're constantly learning on this pod. And I was sitting down recently with a friend of mine, Marcy Carlson, who's got a long term background in housing and affordable housing. And she said, you know, appraisers play a big part in helping us attain affordable housing, helping us lower risk, making sure we're not overpaying or we can walk away from projects that don't make sense. It made total sense to me. She said, you need to speak with Eric. And Eric's been doing this work for a long time. In his day job, he actually works for Appraisals North Realty Inc. up in Sudbury, doing this work. He followed his dad into this work and is a recent father to it. And I loved his answer in our interview around what does home mean to you? And he talks about the eyes of his just past two-year-old talking about home. We talk about why is it important to have an appraiser. We talk about the role they play. Typically, in the validation of affordable housing, why it's a little different appraisal of affordable housing when you're looking at versus just straight up real estate transactions. He talks about being the sober second thought sometimes because I think we get geared up and we want it. We think a property is a great deal. We go in and they come in and say, it's really not worth that much. You're overpaying. You need to walk away from this deal. Not everyone's always thrilled to hear that, right? Because they got so pumped up about a deal. But you don't want to overpay and you don't want a property that's not really worth that much. And in that might get your nonprofit into trouble. So we also talk about how it's a growing field. We talk about some of the challenges that they'll face when it's an affordable housing project versus straight up real estate transactions. And we talk about the skill set. Why, can anyone call themselves an appraiser? What does accreditation mean? What do you have to do to get that accreditation? Why it's important and much, much more. It's a fascinating conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Let's go to that conversation now. Thanks so much for making the time today to come on the pod. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, listen, we start with the same question every time we have a guest on the show, because it's a very personal question, and that is, what does home mean to you?
There you go. I've been watching a few of your episodes, and so I've been giving this some thought. And in our industry, we tend to get caught up a little bit in home. We think of it more as houses and dwelling units and that sort of thing. Very, very on the nose, but house versus home is so much, much more than that. As they often do, my little one kind of gave me a bit more context to that one. Recently we were out on vacation and, having the time of her life, pool, right outside the door, all that, even though, having a great time, whenever she'd get upset, it would be, I want to go home. She's only a little over two. And so just kind of learning this concept, but, even then, anytime she was in, a perceived crisis, anything like that, that was, her safe space is where she wanted to go. And that, that is home. It's where she is comfortable. It's where she's, feels safe. And so that's where she wants to go back to. And that's kind of, brought it, you know, brought it to the forefront that, yeah, you know, even though often we deal in houses, dwelling units and whatnot, you know, the concept of home is so much more than that. So.
Love that. I love that through the eyes of a 2-year-old. That's so cool. Thanks for that. We want to get to know our guests as they come on, and everyone's journey is a little bit different. And we're going to talk about your kind of the link today into affordable housing a little later, but talk to me a little bit about your journey into the work you're doing now.
Yeah, well, I'm a second generation appraiser. My dad founded our company, Appraisals North Realty, back in 1991 with a couple other partners. You know, I got into the business, you know, fairly early on. You know, kind of fell into it by, you know, not by accident. It was, you know, every time I'd come home from university, it was either, you know, doing manual labor or flipping burgers. And, you know, my dad said, well, why not, you know, help me out for a summer and see if you like it. And, you know, that was the start of, you know, start of something much bigger. So, you know, by the time I was 2021, I was, you know, jumping into the industry, and it's been, I think this would be my 15th year or so now. And, yeah, the rest is history. It's been a good journey since that time. I've been working with, the association, AIC Ontario now off and on for, you know, the last 7-8 years, trying to give back to the, appraisal community. And, that's been a great ride as well.
And thanks for that segue. Tell me a little bit about AIC.
There you go. So yeah, AIC Ontario, we're the provincial association in Ontario for the Appraisal Institute of Canada, which is our national body. You know, we try to be the leading voice of the appraisal industry in Ontario, advocate for our Ontario membership. We have roughly 2,600 members here in Ontario, which is about half of the national membership. You know, if I can say a word about our members, you know, in 2022, our members appraised approximately $754 billion of property by value. You know, our membership, very diverse, very broad spectrum of reports and work being done, you know, goes from anywhere residential, single, multifamily, vacant land, anywhere from single lots to subdivisions, development lands, easements, rights of way, partial takings. Then you venture into, you know, commercial, industrial, other investment type properties, agricultural. You know, we have people working in public and private sector, municipal assessment, assessment appeal, tax, litigation. We can even do, you know, our membership can even do machinery and equipment valuations, reserve fund planning, and that sort of work. So, you know, we're a very, you know, small group relative to, you know, other similar similar industries like the realtors, sorry. But we do touch on quite a bit of property and do a lot of valuation work across the province.
Now, listen, this is a podcast around housing and homelessness, and people are probably wondering, okay, so appraisers, what is this? Am I listening to the right podcast? Yes, you are. Don't go anywhere. This all came about because of a common friend of ours, Margie Carlson, said, I was sitting down with her and she does incredible work and people should check it out. And she said, you got to speak with Eric. And she said, there's an aspect of how appraisals play a part in affordable housing. People just really don't understand and they should. And Hans said, yeah, you know, I every time I come on this podcast, I learn more and more. And so let's talk a little bit about there. What role does an appraiser typically play the valuation of affordable housing, and how do they help to keep it affordable?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there is a very direct link in that, you know, even for affordable housing on the development side, you know, you typically still require an appraisal. But we really can be involved from the ground up, you know, especially lately and with the way that the markets have gone, you know, even from the outset, you know, through feasibility studies and background consultation, you know, whether these developments are actually feasible, you know, and how it is you can get them from concept to you know, development. You know, typically they'll require, you know, not just a land value component, but also prospective market value, you know, on an ongoing basis. Even you know, affordable housing complexes will require refinancing work, market rental studies, you know, even all the way through to the end. You know, if a project becomes, you know, if it happens to have run its course, you know, a appraisal for market value for a divestment. So on that front, we can be involved right from the outset. In a broader sense, speaking more to the single family market, we like to kind of think of ourselves as the sober second thought in the process. During COVID, it really ramped up. Everybody who's, been paying attention knows how the markets operated through those times. A lot of people putting in, offers that are above and beyond what really represented the value of certain properties. There was, a feeding frenzy of sorts. The appraiser is really the independent, objective third party opinion of what a property is actually worth. When we're talking affordability, it's how can you know whether something is affordable or not, or if you don't have a good understanding of what the actual value is? We often get painted as trying to put a damper on things. But that's incorrect. We're just trying to be fair, impartial, and kind of taking out that aspect of, have to jump into the market now, or it has to be this particular property. We take a step back and say, why is it, why does it have to be this price, and is it actually worth this price? That's how we try and help out on our end.
Construct, a social enterprise by Bluedoor, provides high-quality residential and commercial construction and property services in the Greater Toronto Area. More than a business with a heart, Construct is a real solution to preventing and ending homelessness. Through its 8-week paid skills trades training program, complete with wraparound supports and on-the-job work experience, Construct lifts people out of poverty and into opportunity. To hire Construct for your next project, or learn more about Construct's employment program, visit constructgta.ca.
Yeah, you're not always giving good news in a sense, right? You're not telling people what they want to hear. That's not your job to do that. In fact, that would be very much against what you're supposed to do with value, in that you're saying, look, it's not worth this. You might be saving people money, or saving, I think there's lowering the risk for people, right?
Absolutely. It's all about risk mitigation. Not just for, the members or the people directly involved in the transaction. The banks and lenders look to us to ensure that, their investment on the lending side is going to be, stable. This doesn't necessarily relate exactly to affordable housing, but, I had a client put together a real estate deal again during COVID, when things were going crazy, and it was two properties, industrial and commercial, and I ended up coming in once everything was said and done, about $1 million less than what they had agreed upon. Typically means everybody's going to be pretty mad, and I'm going to be taking some flack, but they reworked the deal. They looked at it, they said, this makes sense, and so saved my client $1 million off the top. That does happen often in the housing sector, maybe to not such a large degree, but all the time. It just takes that, that little different perspective from somebody outside of the the workings of the deal to say, you might want to, reconsider and possibly think about this aspect of things. And, that's what we can bring to the table.
Yeah. And perhaps people sometimes bring those prices down. We know, here's what I can ask, but here's what it's really worth and what the bank is going to approve, right, moving forward. So yeah, it is that sober second thought. We need that to reduce risk. Are there parts of the evaluation process that are very unique to, say, affordable housing that you do?
Yeah. The whole root of it is a bit different. When you're talking affordable housing, your standard, say, multifamily complex, if you were to build one today, if you're a standard investor, it's all about maximizing net income and in the end, maximizing value. When you're talking about affordable housing, that's, not the case. It's more to meet the goal of the needs of a community. It's not trying to maximize value. They're trying to get it as close to market value as possible. That's always a bit of an issue. It's just the where they're coming from and what it's being used for is different fundamentally. I mean, they're also, you know, they're funded differently. Affordable housing largely based on grants and lending opposed to just straight lending. Oftentimes you're dealing with, you know, because they can get outbid for the prime development locations, you could be dealing with, you know, a secondary or lesser locations, issues related to that. And even from a design perspective, you know, often you'll see community spaces built into affordable housing units, or you know, designed for increased accessibility or special functions in that regard. So, it can be quite different dealing with these types of properties as opposed to your, you know, run-of-the-mill standard type property.
Well, thank you for that. So if when a nonprofit housing provider is going to go out and they're going to hire an appraiser, what specific skill sets are they looking for so they'll be effective?
Yeah, I mean, many of our designated members, you know, will be more than qualified to assist. You know, it's not completely reinventing the wheel. I mean, we're still bound to, you know, we have three different means of valuation. There's cost approach, which is based on, you know, actual costs involved. Direct comparison approach, which is based on, you know, sales in the market, and income approach, which is based on net operating income. So, you know, you're still sticking to those three. It's just, you know, if you're looking at hiring someone, they should have some experience in the sector, or at least a good understanding of you know, what is involved, and also a firm understanding of, you know, local market, market rents in that area, values in that area, related to standard properties and how that might relate back to affordable housing.
And let's just be clear for people too. If you call yourself an appraiser, do you have to have the designation? Can anyone call themselves an appraiser, but you're looking for people with a designation? And thirdly, when you're going for that designation, what does that mean? What have you done during that?
I'll have to tread lightly on this one. So from my understanding, yes, anyone can call themselves an appraiser. For AIC Ontario, we are all members of the Appraisal Institute of Canada. There are other appraisal associations in Canada. We are the largest, and, you know, I'll say very, very much most widely recognized. And so, you know, when you're dealing with an appraiser, goes candidate membership, when you're still learning, then you can either get your CRA designation, Canadian Residential Appraiser, or AACI designation, Accredited Appraiser of the Commercial Industrial, or the Canadian Institute, sorry. You know, the CRA is more geared to single family. You can do upwards of four units. AACI, you can do, you know, pretty much anything. It's a long road to designation. You have to have a university degree to get into the program. There's some additional coursework. There's a component of work experience, you know, additional, you know, accreditation courses and exams and whatnot. So it's a long road, but it's well worth it. You know, it's been a great experience for me on a professional level. We like to think we do a pretty good job of keeping our members up to date and you know, doing very good work.
I think you touched on this too on some of the things, but let's talk about some of the challenges you're facing as an appraiser, especially when it's affordable housing project. What are some of the things that you see?
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of touch on this, but, you know, with the affordability aspect, you're often, you know, real estate, standard real estate is based on, you know, largely the prospect of return on investment. So when you add the aspect of affordability, you know, oftentimes that's, you know, they start at, you know, 80% of market rates, that kind of thing. So you're already kind of putting, you know, a bit of a cap on the property in terms of how much income and revenue that can generate. And of course, that's going to have, you know, an impact on what the value is. You know, if you were to offer up two identical properties next to each other, one was, you know, capped for affordability, the other was at market rents, you know, an investor is going to look at those and say, well, of course, I'm going to take the one that's, you know, I'll take door number one. You know, these do transact in the market from time to time, not as much. And, you know, it bears out in the capitalization rates That kind of thing, you know, depends on, you know, whether or not the affordability aspect is capped at a certain number of years. You know, some developers will attach on, you know, a certain number of units will have to be, you know, affordable for 20-year period. So it'll depend on where you are in that timeline. You know, others, if it's just, you know, that's the complex and that's what it is, it'll have, you know, maybe a slightly more significant impact. But you know, you're still dealing with the same realities when appraising these. I mean, it's the same cost to build these complexes, whether it's going to be affordable or not. You know, it's just you know, there has to be a bit of a lessened expectation on payback, just due to the financial realities. You know, keeping it affordable.
Now, this might seem like a silly question, but, and I suppose there's multiple answers to it, but who pays for your services? Is it, I guess it sometimes would be the affordable housing provider, but it also, what I hear you saying is the funder sometimes saying, look, if you're going to go out and spend our money, we have to know that this is valued at a certain rate. Is that?
Yeah. Right? I mean, we do get this question a lot. So, you know, it's not, it's a good question, but, you know, regardless of who pays us directly, it's always the, you know, the owner, the developer who ends up paying, whether it gets rolled into the mortgage payments or paid up front. I mean, you know, not that it matters where we look at it the same way regardless, but it's often put forward by the lending institution as one of their requirements, or you know, the government agency offering the grants, they still want to know that, you know, if we invest this money, will it be a sound investment?
Absolutely. And you know, you're not overpaying with government dollars as well, right? You see this as a growth industry, like this area of affordable housing? Do you see that picking up at all in the last few years or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's one of the most important discussions in real estate today. You know, you look at the headlines and political debate and it's, you know, absolutely dominating. You know, where we fit in that puzzle, you know, I'm not entirely sure yet, but it's one of those things where it's not going away. It's a problem that's, you know, getting more and more exacerbated. And I'd like to think that, you know, appraisers can definitely be, you know, a part of that conversation. You know, we should be aware, we should be involved in the process, and, you know, working with other stakeholders in terms of finding suitable solutions for the future. You know, this is my personal thinking, but, you know, I think there needs to be a more, you know, a more fulsome discussion, you know, surrounding affordable housing, in our industry, you know, to kind of realize the positive impact, socially, that these types of complexes have, and, you know, as a way to kind of bridge the gap, you know, between the shortfalls on the financial side, you know, and how we go about that, you know, up for discussion, but it's certainly a conversation worth having.
Absolutely. Listen, if people want to find out more about AIC, yourself, appraisals in general, where can they go?
Well, it's AIC, the national has their own website, AICanada.ca. There is a provincial affiliates tab at the top. You can find the Ontario site through there. Ontario has a separate AIC Ontario has a separate website as well, OntarioNeedsAppraisers.ca. Also through social media, AIC Ontario, we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can find myself, Eric Toro, on LinkedIn as well, if you care to do so. And my company website is just AppraisalsNorth.ca.
Awesome, Eric. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today, share about how the appraisal process is a very important part of the affordable housing process. So appreciated. Thanks so much. And you're always welcome back, buddy.
That's excellent. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. Bye, Michael.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer.
And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.